Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the penultimate week of Australian Survivor. I'm your host, Nick Idanza. It's the Survivor Know-It-Alls podcast, and I am super excited to welcome a guest who's going to help me break it all down. And I'm just going to cut straight to it. It's Zenhen himself, Henry Nicholson. Henry, welcome to the podcast.
Nick, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the Wrap podcast with you.
We got to chat last year when we kind of did a deep dive into your game. Absolutely loved that. And I thought, you know, we need to definitely get you on again to discuss everything.
Yeah, it's great. And now we've seen most of the whole season. So it'll be really good to actually break it down and have a lot of information behind us on all the players.
Henry, we're going to get into the episodes and all that in a second, but let's just do a bit of a general catch up because I'm sure the listeners would love to hear from someone who definitely made season two of Australian Survivor what it was, and that was yourself. And I'm sure people would love to hear what you have been up to and what you've been doing since we last spoke last year, because you and I have hung out plenty of times being from the same city, but yes. Everyone else wants to know what you've been up to.
Yeah, not too much. Just plodding along, started a master's of teaching degree, which I should be finished next year, and just some other campaigns with all my charities. But to be honest, enough about me, Nick. Let's get on with the podcast.
Such a modest person. You don't want to talk about. Well, I'm sure you can go on to Henry's Instagram and you can hear all about his life. Henry, we've even got you on Twitter this year, haven't we?
Yeah, you got me on Twitter after, you know, those first two episodes with Russell Hance. I was over at your place and we're watching it and, I fell in love with Twitter. I only go on there for Survivor, if I even remember. But I absolutely love it. Don't follow me, though. Just let me say my things and be in peace. But I love it. It's the funniest thing.
You would have to be the first reality TV contestant who has ever gone on a podcast and said, don't follow them.
I know. And I honestly mean it. Like, my tweets are just for me and my select friends that actually look at the game the same as me, because a lot of people look at Survivor completely different to me, and that's why I love this game, because there's so many different ways to look at it, to break it down, to like it, to hate it. So that's what Twitter, I just see everyone's kind of ideas on the game, and that's why I love it.
You're pretty crap on Twitter in the fact that you refused to get a profile picture for about 2 months, but we eventually wore you down. You got a profile picture. Now the next thing is, we need the people power. Everyone, we need to kind of like wear him down to get like an actual banner, like a picture banner at the top.
Oh, you know, that's one thing. Is that a thing? I thought my next thing was like a bio. Hey, I was like,
well, it's all part and parcel, Henry. If anyone would like to reach out and give Henry some tips on how to run his Twitter, that would be great.
Yeah, please. Just jump on and help me out.
Henry, we've got so much to talk about because this is the last podcast before the finale. And you and I and a couple of other survivors, we're heading up to Sydney to record the finale this weekend, and that will air next week. So this is really our last chance to talk Survivor before it's all kind of done and dusted. How are you feeling about this season as a whole going into the finale?
Yeah, like I'm stoked. I wasn't sure at the start of the season how I'd go, just having our season previously, but I think I've just absolutely loved being a fan and not being on the show. And it's tough to, like, it's good that we're talking now because we can actually kind of look at the whole season as a whole, as one thing, rather than being like, oh, this week was good, this week was bad. We kind of look at it, and it is such a long season, the Australian format. So it's kind of good to have that whole picture that you can make your thoughts on, and especially the characters too, because, you know, it can get picked apart week by week, but it's really good to see everything. And I'm just stoked to be able to watch the finale as a fan live and with you and a couple of my good mates and stuff. So I can't wait.
Well, it's funny. You have said that a lot, that you do feel like you are a fan this season. You kind of like have been able to kind of sit back and enjoy it. Of the four people left, who are you rooting for, like, going into the finale? If you had to pick just one person, who is it?
That's tough.
It's tough because there's four. It's a good final four.
It's a good final four. In terms of game, I think Sean. In terms of like character, someone that puts my bum on the seat, Brian. But yeah, if that's your answer, I know that's taking half the cast. But yeah, probably those two. And I can't pick between them right now. They're I like them for character and strategy. And that's why I love Survivor. There's my favorite characters who are bad players. I would put myself in that category. And then they're just really good players and stuff like that, which also are exciting to watch.
So I want to just dive in. So we had two episodes this week. In the first episode, Fenella goes home. In the second episode, Monica goes home. So we finally have some females on this jury. Yes. And there was a lot of good stuff, actually, that we could kind of pick apart. I want to start with talking about Fenella. Shawnee and Fenella going into this episode. This is the last time we get to see them in action on the beach together. And I thought there was some really interesting stuff about what Fenella was saying about, you know, people, the people in the shadows are the one that you should be looking out for. And, you know, it took so long for people to twig onto them as this kind of power couple. What is it like? What do you think they have been so successful in this game and made it all the way to top, you know, six and four and even beyond potentially?
Yeah, I think that's where we've got to give huge credit to them, because even having that nickname Fenella, which has been gone for a bit now, like, it was so evident that they were close, definitely to the viewer from the start. And I do believe that the cast members also, other survivors knew as well. So that's like power to them that they can still keep going further with two votes to whoever they want to go for. So like, I don't know what it is. Is it just that pure social bonding that they can connect with everyone? They're just having a laugh, you know, that, you know, funny and friendly on the outside, but actually in the back of their heads, they're just perfectly maneuvering to the end. But like, one of the best power couples, definitely this game scene, but like, it's crazy. I can't believe that, you know, we were so adamant on getting our power couples out. That was like a big thing early in our game, but Fenella and Shawnee have just done it purely perfect. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I think they, you know, it's such an obvious pairing, and the pairing has been obvious since way back in early contenders when we talked about that, when there were seven contenders left, there was three pairs and then Paige on her own. Like, it was pretty clear then. It's pretty crazy. I feel like the best, and I've said this before on the podcast, the thing that you can hope for the most when you play Survivor, it's not that you're going to get confessionals. It's not finding idols. It's not being a challenge beast. The number one thing you want in Survivor is someone who has your back implicitly. Yeah. And Shawnee and Fenella, there is just no world where they would turn on each other, at least not before the final three. And even then, I doubt they ever would. And I just feel like that is the rarest, most precious thing you can get in any Survivor game. And I don't think anything else comes close.
Yeah, it's crazy. And even like it's crazy that it was foreign to the world. Like, even at that reward with Matt, Roger, and I think it was Sean, Fenella was like, oh, don't forget Shawnee too. Like, open how dedicated they were to each other. Like, that's how good they have to be rated for their gameplay to get as far as they did together.
Like, she calls her her life partner, her business partner, her snuggle buddy. Like,
I want to know
it's
what
crazy.
They can invest in, you know? Like, what are they up to next? Because they are so funny.
Fenella for The Amazing Race, Fenella for My Kitchen Rules, Fenella for The Block, whatever it is, more Fenella.
Yeah, well, Australia loves them.
So what happens in this episode is Shan kind of concocts this plan. She realizes that the last couple of episodes where she's been barking up the Monica tree, it ain't working. She says that she's going to try and get Shawnee and Fenella on board. I absolutely loved the attempt, because I feel like that is definitely what I would have tried, because who could work with Monica after, you know, she's rebuffed you twice. Like, she doesn't want to work with you. So I appreciate that Sean went and tried that. But what did you think about the way that Fenella, like, pretty quickly, like, kind of smacked her down and kind of like shut her down?
Yeah. Once again, it's to the point, and there's a bit of, like, I think throughout the season, there's been a bit of, they're too open with what they're thinking, in a sense. Like, they will come forward and be like, oh yeah, look, you just wrote my name down. Like, why would I want a team with you? Like, rather than more like, oh yeah, that's an option. Like, trying to get them on side. So I think this whole season's been a bit like, there's a lot of truth to what they say rather than keep it to themselves. So you got to go.
They're champions. Champions don't lie.
Well, that's it. You got to go and try all these things. when you're at that stage. So you got to give it a whirl, and you know, you find out, like, you find out further how much they're not keen. Like,
look, I think that Shan is a really good player, right? And I think she's going to win, and I would be really happy if she won. But I think that she has this flaw where she kind of talks to people in a way that doesn't make them feel like it's A, in their best interest, or B, that they're coming up with the idea. Like, she says to them, she basically, and Shani mentioned this afterwards, she basically says that she confirms that Shani and Fenella are going to the top four with Brian and Monica. That's not incentivizing them. And it's the same thing that happened last week with Monica. Like, you know, like, you have to kind of like incentivize them in some way. And I just thought that was, if we had to kind of like pick apart some of the oversights in Shan's game, I think that's one of them.
No, I like that. I didn't think of that. That's good.
What did you think about Shan finding the idol?
Yeah. That was good. Like, credit to her. You got to search for it. And I didn't even see it was in that tree, wasn't it? It was just kind of.
Yeah. It's just right there.
Just right there. And I know there's a lot of things about idols and where they're planted and stuff. And I walked into a clue on a well, so I can't really talk. But I think it's crazy how many idols are in the game. When
it is pretty crazy.
Had one at the time, and that had to be gone at final five. To have another one is interesting, and I don't really know the full laws about idols that go home.
Do you know? No, I don't think there are. I don't think there are laws. I think the general rule seems to be that when one gets played, it gets rehidden. But like, I just feel like so much of it is at the producer's discretion in the moment. If things are waning in the show and it's looking like it could do with some spice, they'll put a clue out. They'll put an idol out there. And I don't think that they would be opposed to putting out another one, like, you know, or just some other type of.
Oh, because that tribal was great then. Like,
yeah, for sure. Like, for sure.
Yeah, I loved that. I'm a big idol fan. Like, I'm a big twists and turns kind of guy. I'm a big kind of player, you know, so I'm all for it. And yeah, she's looking for it. Like, anyone that goes for it, good on them for finding him. That's awesome.
I feel like there were people on Twitter who were saying, you know, oh, so many idols this season. And while, yeah, there have been a lot of idols, there haven't been that many that have actually been played or like even impacted the game in any way, in the way that they've been played. Like, Heath's was great. And then there's this one. Every other idol has either gone out with someone in their pocket, or it's gone and hasn't actually affected the vote, like what Benji did with Shan's idol. And Henry, I'm sorry, I have to bring it up. I'm so sorry. And you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Last year, you were the person who went home with an idol in your pocket, right? Mm. And it was a big story.
What a dummy. Absolute dum-dum. How didn't he know?
How?
Oh, my God. Oh, what? How? People, including the legend they got all the way from America to come over and play this game for us? Fourth? The fourth people? Like, Russell, Benji, and Matt? Three arguably of really good Survivor players. So, you know.
You are vindicated. You have been vindicated.
it's crazy.
Justice for Henry.
Yeah, we didn't have, I don't think any of our idol players in season two were correct.
But, yeah.
And then I think by the time we got to top, after Ziggy played a top six, there wasn't even idols. I think they were just like, we're not having another unsuccessful one. And then this year again, majority are unsuccessful than successful. And it's now becoming, I don't know, like, obviously you want to know and stuff, but is the power of the idol, like, I always loved having mine in my back pocket because I knew no one else had one. Like, that is probably one of the most advantageous things about having an idol, apart from this season. Like, apart from this, Brian should be thinking, all right, I've got one. There shouldn't really be another one. But then again, you know, like, that was an interesting point. But
yeah, I think the problem is that when they're kind of the idols that have come from different beaches and when they converge at the merge, you know, those idols, that there were then a couple of threads of idols that kind of are running through the game that once one of them gets played, it then kind of gets rehidden. So there can be a couple of threads going. It doesn't mean that they are that you're the only one. So I feel like that is the you can only really bank on that in the pre-merge portion of the game, like true. The pre-merge, yeah, maybe even true. Pre-swap yeah. version of the game.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's so fair.
I'm really glad that Shan didn't poop out this idol when she, but she did tuck it into her pants and then kind of start running. I was like, it's going to happen again, Shan. No. But I think she learned something.
Got it hidden and then got it out in one piece.
So I want to talk about this, just before this tribal council. So, you know, this was the big discussion coming out of the week that Brian has had. He rose so high, and then this week he had some really, really big blunders.
Yeah.
So just to reset, before the vote, we have this, you know, Sean and Shane are going to vote, two votes on Fenella, and the four, the leftovers of the Mighty Ducks, are going to do a split vote, 2-2. Should be pretty easy, just in case someone has an idol. They're going to flush an idol. It all seems pretty hunky-dory.
Yeah.
And then Brian decides to vote for Fenella and for Sean as well, Sean. And Fenella goes home. What were your whole thoughts on what Brian did?
For me, it was a blunder. It wasn't – like, I know the first scene of the next episode really changes everything in terms of what Brian says about it. I don't believe it, but I thought it was a blunder. And I also think in that position, Shawnee and Fenella could have made it easier. They should have been like, look, we're going to be the ones that are voting for Shane. Yeah, Shane. So those two are the ones that are voting for Shane. So Brian has to vote for Sean no matter what. If Brian is the one that's all on the fence and then suddenly comes back to him and says, look, I want to go Sean. But like, all right, you two vote Sean, we will vote Shane. So no matter what, Brian can't F it up because he has to vote Sean. Has to vote Sean. So he won, if that makes sense. So that's one thing Fenella could have done because they could have been like, and it could have worked well, and then Brian wouldn't have been able to, you know, supposedly want it to fall on Fenella, even though he didn't know about the idol, even though he... You know, I just don't believe the story, second episode, but we can get to that.
Yeah, I think, there's a couple of things to unpack there. I think you raise a really good point. And this is a point that I learned being out there playing the game, which I've since spoken about on the podcast, that when you're in an alliance and there are people who you can't trust that they're going to stick with their vote, you need to put it on it's not a one-for-one situation in this case, but you need to put them on the votes that aren't going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's more to do when there's like a split vote where there's a majority and a minority. You put the people that you really trust on the majority. And it's also a bit of a signal for you if the people trust you in your alliance or not, if you get relegated to the minority. But in this instance, it's a little bit different. But I do think that you raise a really good point that I hadn't have thought of, that if he seems like he wants to vote for Sean, give him the chance to vote for Sean and just throw it all on him. And yeah, you guys do it and we'll vote for Shane. And that will probably mitigate the idea. But I guess in that they would have to be thinking really far ahead in terms of like, is he going to flip? Why is he so dead set? It did kind of look like he was just kind of batting ideas around.
Yeah. So this is from a viewer point of view. Like,
no, for sure. No, but I think you've figured out correctly the way that they could have. Fenella could have stopped that from happening, and I hadn't have thought of that, and that's pretty good. The one thing, though, is that you don't want to be swapping the vote at the last minute. No. You know, okay, wait, we were doing Shane and you were doing Sean? Okay, no, let's swap it back, especially when their names sound so similar. Like, I just feel like, sometimes it's about just making it as smooth as possible, but I think you raise a really good point there. What did you think about the whole Shane and Sean appealing to his ego, you know, making him feel safe, doing all the acting, because they got a lot of credit for flipping him and not flipping him, but convincing him almost to vote for Sean. Do you actually give them any credit, or do you just think that he was going to do that no matter what they said? And the only credit we can give Sean is the fact that she found and played the idol.
Yeah, look, I don't give it a huge amount of credit just because I know what you can build up.
Yeah.
I think Brian...
What do you mean by that? Because... Yeah, what do you mean by that? That what you can build up? Because I think that's something I wanted. I know from talking to you personally, but like, can you explain that?
Yeah, just based on like, all right, if we want to sell the move to someone, how can we build up the storyline to make it seem like it was theirs? And if you don't show the Shane confessionals of you know talking about Brian's biceps or building him up and stuff like that, then the move's got nothing to do with her. So basically, you can edit the storyline to favor somebody about a move. So if we see something that Shane does, like I wouldn't even call it like, you know, trying to charm Brian. I think she pointed at his bicep and was like, you know, oh, it looked like he injured his bicep or something like that. And it wasn't like a, oh, your arms are so big. You are everything, which is what the kind of edit made it for. So I feel for some reason they want Shane and Sean to have pulled the strings on Brian a bit more than what I believe they did. I think Brian wanted the scalp and he wanted to put Sean's name down and get her out because I think he knows how good she is as a player. And I think that was evident in that episode.
Oh, I want to pick that up again in a second. But there's another thing that I want to talk to you about. And just before we move on, so you mentioned that Shawnee and Fenella like did, they could have done a little bit more in terms of, you know, figuring out a way for it not to fall back on them. But I thought what was interesting is that Shawnee and Fenella, Shawnee knew she had the right read again. She had the right read. She said, and not about her confessional, because I believe that was a day after confessional when she was like, no, we're not switching the plan. In the moment, in the conversation, her initial idea was to put the votes on Shane or to keep it on the 2-2. And Brian came in and railroaded her again. And it's very similar to what happened in the previous episodes where like he has kind of like come in and wrestled the idea away from Shawnee and Fenella when they have the right read in the game. And it kind of like then blows up in his face because I feel like he, in his mind, thinks that he is running strategy for all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's his total oversight. And I don't know whether it's he's cocky. A lot of people say, oh, he's cocky. People love throwing that idea out, that word out there on Survivor. And it is true to some extent. But I think a lot of it is just that he overestimates how much strategic acumen he brings to the group and underestimates how much they actually do as well.
Yeah, I think that is a massive, I guess, flaw in Brian's game. And I can't speak because I know people got frustrated with me because I wanted the move. And I was, instead of letting people think that they're part of the decision or that it's their move, and I think that's a real art to a brilliant Survivor player is making the move and making others think that they're pulling the strings, but still having enough of the jury believe that it's you. So that's like a perfect player. So I think, and even at the challenges and stuff, like you see Brian like kind of say to Shawnee, it's kind of like he is the dictator and he is kind of running the show. So yeah, it's, but you're right, Shawnee, it wasn't in a confessional, so it was 100% pure, just in the conversation that straight away she wanted to split because she was thinking about eyes and all that stuff. So you're right about she's on the money. But yeah, I think Brian, it's got to be Brian's way. And you can get like that when you're on a roll. You just want to keep putting those scouts on there and you want to be like, yes, this was my move. And if he voted for Shane originally and then had to re-vote for, you know, even if Shane didn't play the idol, had to re-vote for Shane, I don't think he feels like that's as big a move as if he just put Shane down originally.
Definitely. Yeah, he's definitely not a bigger move, but like he could have got, he was so close to getting the exact same thing that he would have wanted anyway. It's not like,
oh, exactly.
Oh my God, if I don't flip my vote, you know, if I don't flip my vote, there's no chance Sean's going home. It's like, no, there's still a very, very, very high chance she's going home. Now, granted, it didn't happen because she did have the idol. But like, it's not like it was this do or die thing where it's like, the only way Shan will go home is if I vote for her now, because that has the same amount of power, you voting for her then, as on a split vote, because the idol can cancel out both of those plans. So it's not like one plan was better than the other. In fact, his plan to switch it was inherently worse.
Yeah. And I think people get super lost about building the resume. And it's like, if you make one good move or two good moves, that's generally enough. Like, if you're on the right side of the votes and you make one or two big moves, which Brian, being on the bottom, did, he made some really good moves early part of the merge. So, like, you can just coast to the end and you're a massive chance. But then wanting every single move, and I know I'm guilty of it too, I wanted every single move, and I wanted to have a resume where I could sit there and basically not say a word and they'd give me the money. But you don't need to play this incredible – you got to beat one person, make a couple of good moves, and if he wants to take a Shane or Monica, he, in terms of strategy resume, he's probably done enough. So just coast through.
I think that's a really good good point. And I think it talks to the idea of, in Australian Survivor especially, one of the best skills you can have is restraint. Mm. Like, it's not every flashy Tony Vlachos thing. It's restraint, knowing when to hold them and know when to fold them, kind of thing. So, and I think that this segues really nicely into the beginning of the next episode, which is where Brian comes back from Tribal Council and says, I meant to do all that. Now, we've already touched on it, but I just want to kind of go through the reasons why I call bullshit on Brian on that moment, because that is 100% not what happened. And I would love to, you know, maybe at the finale, like, I'm not going to pester him, but like, I would love to be like, dude, it's just you and me. No one's listening. Just, you can just say it. Like, you can say it. And I've, because, look, this is what happens. It happens at Tribal Council. You can't talk to explain what happened. You then have the whole journey back to camp where you're in lockdown, where you're not allowed to talk. You are not allowed to talk until you walk back into camp. He has there about how long, Henry? Half an hour, maybe longer, to formulate exactly what he's going to say when he, that camera, when the producer pulls him over in the middle of the night to go and sit over and talk about, you know, his view on what happened. He definitely concocted an idea there about him doing it on purpose. And I give him credit. You have to do that because you have to make it look like to Shawnee. You have to kind of protect your image to Shawnee. Great. But what I will not abide is lying to the audience. Lie to Shawnee. Don't lie to us.
I 100% agree. When I heard it, I thought it was bull as well. He didn't know about the idol. He had no idea. And if he knew, then maybe he's like, it's just, you can't claim that. You just can't.
For sure. You can't. And I tweeted out four reasons, Henry, as to why this was a complete lie. One, he did not imply that that was the plan when he was voting in the voting booth and they showed his vote, right? At no point in the voting booth, before it had all gone down, where no one else can hear him, did he mention anything about it. Number two, he had no idea that Shawnee had the idol and that was going to happen. He had absolutely no idea that we know of. And number three, he tried to bring Fenella and Shawnee in on the plan of voting three for Shawnee. So that's another point against him. And the last most biggest one, the biggest one here, is that in the next episode, he doesn't follow through on this plan that he's apparently put in motion of going to the end with Shane and Monica, because he ends up voting for Shane. It's just enough, Brian. That's like, let's not insult our intelligence
here. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Just had to get that off my chest. No,
it was one of those, like you said, about lying to the audience, and I think that's what irritates anyone watching, when you just can call bullshit.
The show tells you that, like, don't lie when you go out there and just before you play, like, don't lie to the audience, lie as much as you want to the other players. And I think that's a really good metric, because if you start lying to the audience as well, like in your confessionals, that's a really, now you're playing like two different games that you're trying to reconcile in your brain. Like, there's enough lies as it is to try and keep track of.
Definitely.
I want to move on to talking about Monica, because this is the episode where she does go home. And what have your thoughts been on Monica this season?
Yeah, I wish I saw more of her in confessionals. I definitely think there's been opportunities to show more of her, even just describing the basic things. Like, I think she speaks well in confessional. I think she's just a happy person. Like, she just lights up the screen. So, but yeah, she's going well, but I guess it was just kind of, she couldn't win just based on the edit. So, you know, there are always purple edits, I guess, and stuff like that, but I don't know why she would have been one, to be honest. But yeah.
I think that she's a bit of an enigma for the people out there. Like, I feel like there's people that just, they just don't quite understand maybe like her view in the game, or like maybe she doesn't understand the game the way that they view it. And she's been, and we spoke about this at length last week, that she has had, you know, her finger on the pulse quite a lot of times, and she just keeps getting the Dodo music. And I just can't, she got the Dodo music again this week in confessional. Like, she's either pissed someone off in production.
Yeah.
Or the editors were jilted by someone who looks like her or really dislikes beauty pageants or something like that, because she has consistently been screwed over by the edit. And I feel like that in this episode, there was some stuff that kind of showed she has way more thought processes going on than they're actually showing. And it seemed weird to me, Henry. Was it weird to you when she had this really vitriolic confessional about Brian?
Yeah.
When she's, he's a lying, two-faced know-it-all, and she kind of looked like the most animated she's ever been in a confessional. What does that kind of tell you about the way that she views Brian and the game and her situation? Because it was weird to me.
Yeah, as in it kind of shows what she wasn't just this, in a sense, I hate to say it, but goat to Brian or sheep or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like she's getting dragged along at all. Maybe she's doing the dragging. And it's funny, I know we'll get to it later about where our people stand, but I think even though Brian has played this strategic game, I think sitting next to him ain't going to be the worst thing. And I think, you know, based on like Monica had the right idea, I think, like, and the way she just understands his flaws and stuff. And that's so good to notice your opponent's flaws and how you can exploit them. So I think she's always been on the side of the votes. Like, she somehow, like, there's not even talk about her going from one side to the other in a sense. Like, that's an art to be able to go back and forth and cross those loyalty lines and not really have your name come up. Just, it has just now, because by default, even it was even by default again, because they're worried about an idol. So, you know, that's credit. There's got to be credit to a player, right?
For sure. She says, like, to build off your point, before she says the lying, two-faced know-it-all, she says the jury isn't going to want to vote for him. He's a lying, two-faced know-it-all. So, like, she knows that she has a good chance next to him. And if you, and she seems to have taken the temperature of the jury at Tribal Council, because it is very clear that a lot of them are not going to vote for Brian, Steve and Matt, namely. And it's clear that Shane and Sean can't stand him, mostly Shane. So, I think she's doing pretty good to understand that.
5 votes. Like, that's, you know, if Brian and Monica got to the end, then Brian would have had to piss off Shanella, and obviously Finella's probably even pissed off about not splitting. And then you've got the boys plus Shane and Charlie. It's almost a landslide. Like, it's ridiculous when he's played like a strategic game, I guess. Like, and Monica technically has a purple edit to say this, but if she was, it's weird. I wonder what would happen if she even just got to another one further or another two further. Would her edit completely change? Like, maybe.
Yeah, not. Interesting. I do feel like, you know, I was saying the whole time, my theory was that she comes second.
Oh, okay.
If someone's, Sean sits next to her. But, you know, in hindsight, that was probably a dumb thought, because if she came second, I feel like they would have, like, fluffed out her story a little bit more. But I feel like if she had gone, you know, one or two more, I don't think they would have gone to great pains to fluff out her story. If you just look at L and P.
That's the thing. I thought she was third, I guess, all along.
Yeah. Can we just move into talking about Shawnee in the second episode? So, there's the car. You know, Brian takes Monica, all that stuff. We can talk about
Charlie. Did that not bring back, like, I don't know. I was like, I haven't had much FOMO or anything. I didn't play the first car challenge, but I was like, holy hell. Like, even getting the car from the game, like, and oh, like, and then pizza, that reward just absolutely broke me down. I don't know why. Like, I hated the reward challenges out there because if you missed them far out, that's you were starving, you were sleep deprived, you were everything. That would have been the best. And then you're in bed with a, you know, just, it's been really, oh, like, what a day for the grub.
It's just hilarious. Like, let's give these rich, successful people a car.
No joke. Here's son. 18th birthday present. So, yeah.
I want to talk about Shawnee. Yeah. Okay. Because Shawnee was great in this episode. And I loved there's a couple of great quotes. She said, I'm a sassy bitch and I always get what I want, bitches. Like, I just, like, it's so dumb. It's so good. Like, it's just, she just delivers everything with just the best little smile on her face. And I think she's so funny. And I just love the way she was like, you know, you vote for my girl, Fenella, I will find you and vote you.
Yeah, the revenge.
Oh, it's great. It's great. So in this, she says that it's everyone else has been flipping. It might be my time to flip. And she does. She kind of like moves over and forms this alliance, which I thought was pretty clever. Shane, Sean, and Shawnee. And she forms this alliance and they plan on targeting Brian. Did you think that for Shawnee, this was the right move?
Okay. Before I even go on this podcast, I wrote down the scenarios. And to be honest, I think either way, it's tough. Either way, because based on immunity of Brian or Sean in the next one, like, they're the two favorites to win. She's done well herself, but I think she needs that immunity. She needs to win out in a sense. So I personally think it's more a great move for her resume. You could see how the jury got behind it. So I'm for the move she did. And I don't think sticking with the others would, like, I think Monica and Brian, too tight. Sean and Shane are too tight. Like, I think she's just got to win out immunities. And I think that move for Fenella's revenge, really, as you could tell by the jury, they were really happy about it. So,
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. It was very good for the optics of what the jury saw that she kind of did, you know, come out from underneath Brian's wings. And then, you know, the story back at the jury villa would be, you know, Fenella would be like, oh, that was like, you know, redemption for me, and that will play well with the jury. I think that's a really good point.
But yeah, other than that, do you have a theory? Because I wrote it down. I'm just like, I think she will need a win out because if it goes to fire, like if Brian wins and then it goes to fire, like you've got Shane or Sean who dominated, but then if she went the other, maybe she would go fire against Monica. I'm not sure. Like, I just find it really tough.
Yeah. The fire thing is like a whole thing that I guess I haven't really, we need to talk through that. But just in terms of just voting out, you know, someone here and going, you know, she is the kind of the swing vote between the two pairs. I feel like, first of all, the best thing that could happen to Shawnee is that Fenella was voted out, to be honest. She's now got Fenella stumping for her in the jury.
Yeah.
She didn't turn on her ally, so she looks like she has loyalty as well as playing a strategic game. And she's now less of a threat because the pairs are going to be fighting for her. So in that instance, I think that that's probably a good thing for her, what happened to her. But in terms of like moving forward, I feel like yes, it was obviously the right move to then switch the vote to Monica, but I do think that kind of for the reasons that you said before about, you know, Sean and Grubby being the best physical threats, I do think that, like, it probably would have been better to get rid of one of them. But in saying that, I think that Shawnee has a good chance. She could have stuck with Brian and got rid of Shan, is what I'm saying. That's like one.
Got rid of Shane?
Oh, sorry, because she had immunity. Right. That changes things. Then I think she definitely did make the right decision.
Also, on your point about the. Sorry, just I think this is so underrated, this point about how Shani Finelli got voted out and it wasn't on Shani's watch, but it actually freed up her game, as in you can base your game around that loyalty. I think it's so powerful when you can get burnt or you lose people around you that you can kind of go just solo to the end that's how I would vote. I still feel you need that sense of loyalty in you, which is a bit old school Survivor, but like you don't want to break the trust yourself. So like it's kind of like perfect she goes. Like it's hard to actually enact the move to get the person next to you out without it not being you. And sometimes it is just luck and it falls into it. But I think like that will soon be like the perfect player who can somehow trick. Like it's kind of like Sarah did in Game Changers, kind of tricked Sierra to give her the legacy. And then like it was kind of like, oh, I need her gone, but I don't need her to know that I'm gone. So sorry, that point by you, I think it's so underrated that I just had to really.
I think there are a couple of other parallels with that. And I think that last season, Luke and Jericho is one of those parallels. Yeah. You know, it's not an exact comparison because, you know, Jericho did know that Luke was going home and kind of like let it happen. But like the blood wasn't on his hands. He survived his alliance getting burnt. You want it, like you said, you want to make it through a trauma that you can then also have that little bit of that underdog story as well.
And take blood, and just take him out. Yeah, and you wouldn't beat Luke. Like, would you beat Luke? Probably not. He played a really good game. Like, he might have.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're next to this giant and you're like, oh, man. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And Jericho said that, you know, oh, his number one ally was Luke to the end kind of thing. But, like, Jericho has said he would have voted Luke out, but, like, he never had to.
Yeah.
He never was in that situation. So like he can kind of like pontificate as much as he wants that like, no, I was loyal to Luke the whole time. I never would have done this. And to me, it's the other thing that it kind of reminds me of is Natalie Anderson in Survivor San Juan del Sur. Like Jeremy gets taken out early and then she kind of goes on this like almost revenge mission thing that Shawnee's got going with Finella. Mm. And she didn't have to vote him out, but like, would she have won against Jeremy at the end? And, you know, she's a cutthroat player. Maybe she would have voted him out, but she never had to kind of deal with that fallout. Yeah. So I guess maybe what have we uncovered here that maybe the key is to kind of somehow throw your best ally under the bus. I guess it's
like
a shield
strategy in a sense. Like it's almost like pair with someone who will go before you.
Yeah.
When you're down in numbers.
Yeah, I guess.
I know what you mean, but it's so like, it's super risky. They're a shield for a reason because they're a good player and they can win out or whatever. So like, yeah, fuck, I love this. I could talk about this topic on Survivor solely. Like even King Cole in Millennials versus Gen X, he went against that loyalty, voted out David Wright. He was never going to get votes, but he lost even Jessica's vote because of it. Like
Ken.
Cole or whatever in... He was, I think he came third place to Adam and like he voted out his number one David because he would have lost to him anyway, but he still probably lost Jessica's vote because I know it's a small example, but it's just that really fine line, which is cool about the game.
Survivor is like a graveyard of like, you know, people who have tried to straddle that line and failed miserably. Yeah. So let's hope Shawnee has a bit more success. Yeah. I want to talk about just really quickly with Shawnee before we move on that like Shawnee was great at the well, I thought, when she was talking to Brian and she was a really good liar, like a really, really good liar when he was kind of coming back and she was like, oh, nah, yeah, they pitched me and they were saying this. And I thought it was really great how she did it. And then she goes and relays to Shan that Shane needs to be a bit more worried. I thought it was really good. And the other thing, I keep trying to heap praise on Shawnee this podcast, but Shawnee is the one who suggests maybe we should switch it to Monica. Now, that could have been that, you know, we didn't see the beginning of that conversation and Shan is like, nah, I think Brian's got the idol and maybe Shan sniffed that out first. But it's definitely Shawnee that said,
okay,
maybe we should switch it to Monica, which is the vote that saved the day in the end. Like for them,
I was going to say, I thought it was Sean's based on the confessional.
No, so Sean recognized that he was not worried, and then at camp, Shawnee says, maybe we should switch it to Monica. Now, it could have been like she'd already said it and she's like, yeah, maybe we do need to switch it to Monica. And it could have been like her affirming what Sean had already said, but it didn't sound like it. So either way, Shawnee was right in there with that decision. And I hope that she comes out of this season getting the credit that she deserves strategically and not just being remembered for being like the kind of the witty one-liners and things like
that. Yeah, well, whoever did claim that move, I had it down as Sean for some reason. I probably wasn't – I had a viewing party with a friend, but I thought it could arguably be the move of the season. Like, it's
right.
Like, we as the viewer know Brian's got an idol, right? We know. Like,
yes.
It's so much harder when you don't have a clue. And to sniff that out and to know that, it saved – it was huge, especially at the pointy end of the game where there's not many numbers. So, like, it saves Shane. And now, you know, now Shane and Sean seem like they've got, you know, a lot of control back.
Yeah.
And, like, I just thought it was an incredible move. And I'm waiting. This is another sidebar. But, like, I want to get – I want the audience to be blindsided by an idol. Like, I want – like, I know there was a bit of that with AKs – with ours, but it wasn't like
a winning move.
I want Survivor to blindside the hell out of the audience soon. And you know, and then have the next episode kind of show how it unfolded or something. I don't know. I just feel like
that's the Amanda Kimmel Micronesia. You know, did she get the idol or not? And then at Tribal Council she pulls out the idol and saves herself. Like,
that was ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've seen it before, but like once, like ages ago. And AK was the closest we came to that. But like you said, it didn't impact the vote. So yeah, no, I love that. I'm definitely keen for the editors to switch it up.
Knowing Brian had it made it be like, I don't think it gave enough credit to Shawnee or Sean, whoever could sniff it out, that he had one. Like, I think he didn't tell anyone, like, oh, and Sean just played one and then he just goes, oh, I'm going to look for idols. He clearly wouldn't have had a big look. So, you know, he didn't get it then. Like, I just think there's so many signs that just he didn't have one. So much credit to whoever actually caught on, whether it's both, whatever. But it could be, for one of them, the move of the season.
Yeah, I think it's probably – it could be in the conversation for sure. I think that the other thing – is, you know, again, I keep trying to give Shawnee all this credit, that it was clever for her to direct the vote to Monica, because if it does stay on Brian and Brian plays the idol, it could bounce back on her. Like, it could be her or Shane, whereas it doesn't really matter for Sean because she's got the immunity necklace. Like, yes, she could lose Shane. She could lose Shane, which is her closest ally. But, like, you know, she's not going home regardless. She's making it to four and she's going to be free of the idol minefield. But, you know, it does really work in Shawnee's interest that, like, okay, maybe we need to kind of get it back on Monica. So I think that was some really good gameplay at the last minute, which seems to be, in my opinion, the theme of this season, that like in that last bit before Tribal, things are switching up really quickly. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah. Like, I still, it's weird. You coming with the Shawnee front, I'm like kind of with the Sean front, because I think she's thinking that she needs Shane for that power in the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. Either way, it was huge. Like, they could be, imagine if they voted for Brian. Like, oh, it's those decisions, change the game.
And they're so hard to make. Yeah. And you, and then if they don't work, you just look paranoid.
Yeah.
I want to, Henry, kind of like, you know, before we get to some questions and stuff, I want to, and the Danzy, of course, I want to talk about who has the best shot moving forward. I want to kind of just run a few scenarios. So we'll go through each of the top four.
Okay.
And I want us to talk through, what is their path to the end? And well, who do they have to sit next to win, or what happens if they sit next to other people? So let's take it kind of one by one. Let's start with Shane.
Okay.
What is Shane's path to the end, and how does Shane win this game?
Okay, I think she is. Oh, she could win a challenge. I don't think she'll win the next one or the final one if they are generally going down the endurance-y kind of pathway that they normally do. So therefore, I think she'll need to go in with Sean or with Sean and Shawnee. I don't see her sitting with Brian. So I think she'll be next to a Sean or a Shawnee if she gets there. But she could get dragged there by like a Brian if Brian wins out and he wants to take her. So she could probably sit next to all of them. What do you reckon?
I think that she just wouldn't want to sit next to Brian. Like, I feel like she's the kind of person who just, regardless whether it's good for her game or not, I think that she just will want to get Brian out. I don't know why. I just feel like she'll continue on with that thought.
Well, if he wins the next two and writes her name down, she won't say no.
No, of course not. Of course not. I'm talking about, like, you know, if she has some sort of agency and, you know, what would be her best choice? Like, if you, you know, said, okay, Shane, what do you want to happen from now on? I think that she would still get rid of Brian, even though that she could win against, I think she would win against Brian. I think that the only person she can beat is Brian. I think that it's 50-50 with Shawnee, and I don't think she can beat Sean. I think Sean's resume.
I'd say Shawnee's got more over Shane.
Okay.
And I think she can beat Brian. Strangely, I think Brian's played a good game, but I still think based on the jury, based on who's in the jury and who will still have to go, and just the late moves by Brian has probably sacrificed a couple of votes. I think Shane will be trumped by Shawnee the most. It'll be close between Sean, both champions, but she beats Brian.
Okay, so we're saying here that let's talk about Brian. We're saying that everyone will beat Brian. Is this correct?
Yeah, just based on this jury and the reactions that they've been having and what seems like the relationships and the late kind of moves or decisions Brian's made. Because to get there, so say you sit next to one of the three, I reckon the two that leave will vote for the other person. So that's already too late in the game. And then plus, you know, I don't think Commando and Matt like him. And then you've also got Fenella up there, and that's already like 4-5.
Okay, so we're saying that Brian has the worst chance to win. Of the three, his best chance is probably Sean.
Sean.
I would probably say Shawnee simply because it removes the peep. So the Matt, Sam, Commando group, are they going to vote for Shawnee? They're going to vote for Shane and Sean, whoever they, you know, if they sit against one of the others. So I think that the best shot for Brian is that he sits next to Shawnee and is able to appeal to them and say, look, I'm the last champion and I made all these moves and all of your friends got voted out, so you can't vote for them, so you got to vote for me. So I think that's his only chance. Yep. So let's put Brian at the bottom of the power rankings there. I think that, you know, we've tossed around Shane a little bit, you know, that it's kind of 50-50. But one thing we haven't spoken about is what if it is Sean and Shawnee? And I think that this would be the best outcome because it would be the two most interesting players get to the end. And I think it would be the big contender and a champion. And I think it would be a total toss up in that moment. Slight edge to Sean.
You'd have to say slight edge to Sean based on the stacked champions.
Let's talk it out, okay? Because I do think that this is the most interesting one, right? I think that if we had Shawnee and Sean in the final two, Sean is definitely getting a vote from Commando and Matt and Shane.
Yeah.
Yes. And Sean is definitely getting a vote from Fenella.
Brian.
And from Brian. And
probably not Monica. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, I'd say that Monica's going to vote for Sean.
How can they do get along? They'll just, yeah, so that's four to Sean, two to, and then we've got Benji, Rob, Sam.
I think that Benji would go for Shawnee in that moment, and I think that Sam would be a Sean, maybe.
And that's, yeah, that's five to, and Rob will do what Benji does.
Well, I think that Robbie would give it to the person who's played the best physical game, think, personally. So it's probably like Sean's got a close kind of...
five, six.
Yeah. So I think that of the best... Oh, this is where I would put the power rankings, and you tell me if you would agree. I would say that Brian's got the worst chance to win. I think that Shane has the... third best chance, and I think that she's slightly edged out by Shawnee, and I think Sean can beat all of them.
Yeah, same. And I think for Shawnee to get to the end with Sean, she will need to win out. So I think the title match is going to be tough. I only see Shawnee getting to the end by winning out, because if she doesn't – yeah, if just based on it going to fire, you've even got a Shane or a Sean who will stay together, they've shown that they will beat her at fire. And that's if, you know, Brian doesn't win. If Brian doesn't win, he goes next. Then those three girls, Sean, Shane and Shawnee on a pole, if they do that one again, I actually don't mind if they do. I don't know. She could. She has been good, but Sean has stayed on the other pole for so long. So...
yeah,
I think like that's what I mean about that move earlier on. Like, I think it works because if she does get to the end, she's got that move. But yeah, it's she'll have to win out for that too.
Here's my new theory on what's going to happen. It's just happened then when you were talking. I've just kind of like plucked it out of my butt right now. Okay, so I think that Brian wins the next immunity.
Yep.
And I think that they get rid of Shawnee as a jury threat. I think that they look at the fact that she's got Fenella there and they've got, you know, all these other contenders. And I think they try and vote her out. And I think that Brian, rather than forcing fire, is probably just kind of like, lets it happen. That's what happens, right? And then at the final three, I think that Sean wins the immunity challenge and brings Brian along with her because she knows that she can beat Brian, and she's afraid of Shane being a threat because she's such an Australian icon, and Sean wins. That's my completely random, highly detailed, and probably completely wrong theory for everyone.
I like it. Woo. I do.
I think that the best, we've said, we've uncovered here.
I feel it can only next week. It can only be. Like, I've got so many scribbles on this piece of paper, but
you're like that meme with the guy with all this red strings.
If Brian doesn't win, he's going right.
Yeah.
So it's either Brian or Shawnee. Right.
Yeah. I think so. And the fire thing complicates things. And I'm not even going to try and hazard a guess as to what happens there. Well, but
it'll just be either Sean. If Shawnee can beat either Sean or Shane.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it won't go to fire. But if it does, you'd have to have your money on Shane and Sean because of what happened.
By the way, did you?
I did. That was a nice throwback to season two of US Survivor. Oh, and I was excited to see it, but I do think it was an odd time for it.
That'd be cool, but
yeah. Well, I feel like, all it takes is one more person not to know how to make fire and it's a complete blowout. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that was interesting. That was interesting. Let's see how it all kind of pans out.
Yeah.
Henry, Oh, this week, you know, so we've been doing the Danzy all season.
Yeah.
And you've been credited with the voting system of the Danzy. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but when you did your podcast with Shannon, you know, you invented the 3-2-1 voting system.
Well, I've been told it's an honor. But how can we get the Danzy? How can the Zenny?
Well, that was one of the questions Ryan Brink asked. The question goes, Henry, how do you feel that you named this? And if so, like, you know, I think that he wants you to be able to come up with the name that kind of like strips back the Danzy, strips back the Chizzy, and you get to choose a name for it. But
the Danzenny. That's all I got. But yeah, was that just the
Danzenny
based on the 3-2-1? Yeah. Because I think there's, you know, you can say one person, but we know Survivor. It takes more than one person to get the move. So I think the 3-2-1 kind of, you know, gives everyone
a
bite of the pie. So
we will have to kind of tweak it this week because there are so few people. So this is the way Shannon Gates came up with the rules. Okay. So any questions, any issues,
tweet.
Tweet them to Shannon.
Who's this guy?
No, I think this. I think this is a really good move. So what you get to do is you get 3 points, okay. Henry. You get to assign them however way you want.
Oh,
three points to one person, a 2 and a 1, or a 1-1-1. It's completely up to you. Who are you giving your 3 points to this week?
You've kind of sold me a bit on Shawnee. Listen to you. Mm. It's been good. But I know your votes probably go that way, so I'll go 3 straight on the nose for Sean.
Oh, 3 on Sean.
You know, found an idol, played an idol successfully, managed to get
one immunity
for her, one immunity, and what I originally thought, she figured out that Brian had an idol, I thought, and at this stage of the game, and she was at the bottom. So, like, 3.
I think that's a good choice. I am going to counteract that though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give 3 votes to Shawnee.
Nice.
I'm going to just slam them all on her simply because I feel like she had the right read both episodes. I think that she's, you know, set herself. She somehow has gone into the final 4 in a better position than she went into the final 6 or whatever it was. And I'm feeling really good about how she played this week. Now, I don't think she's going to get to the end, but I want to award her for all her correct reads. So
yeah, cool.
Long live Queen Shawnee.
Well done. I like that.
And one of the other things that we haven't even spoken about is the fact that Sean now has 3 immunity wins. And I do believe, and fact checkers tell me if I'm correct, that Sean is now tied with Brian, Lockie from season 2, and Lee from season 1. They've all four of them have 3 immunity wins. So she's the first woman to win 3 individual immunities in Australian Survivor history, and it's brief history, but history nonetheless. Yeah. And I actually think that by the close of this season, she's going to have another one to her name. So I think that we could be looking at Sean as being the number 1 individual immunity threat in all 3 seasons.
Yeah, which is crazy. She honestly has everything, it seems, as a player, like physical, social, strategic, like, she's just a really good player.
And I like that they've showed that she's made a few blunders, you know, because no one's perfect, and it's not like they've kind of protected her from the edit. So, like, I like that.
Yeah, it's good about it. That's why, like, they did that a little bit with Jericho. Like, they saw him get fooled once or twice. But,
by you.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Like, he still wins. It kind of just – I like how it's not so perfect.
Cut and dry. Yeah, exactly. I want to get to some questions, Henry, if you shall indulge us. Okay. Michael McDermott asks, the jury is completely stacked by gender this season. Were you ever scared of the possibility of a women's alliance in your season? Because I think we could also be looking at the first final 3 all women in Australian Survivor history.
Yeah. Strangely, never. There was never those divides. You can never sense. There was a girl versus boy thing, at least in a sangha in my tribe. You do kind of think about it. But even like we had a Kent or Joan at the start, and it wasn't based on let's keep Kent because he's a guy. I personally prefer to align with girls. So like for me, it was never a thing. I don't think it was in our season anyway. We're very mixed in. I know. I think the Red Tribe in season, your season, Nick. Like the Phoebe and Els and kind of had something going on, but how did you find it your season?
I definitely wasn't afraid. I was clinging on to the hopes of a women's alliance and like trying to ride a girls' alliance all the way to the end. So definitely not afraid of it. Where are we? If at BlockFan1 says, if Zen had the Brian Lake grub edit last year, what filthy acts of grubbery would he have been caught doing?
At BlockFan, change your at to at SurvivorFan. honestly, like the camera's on you all the time. They could come up with some of the grossest things, but like, you know, like there's just, you're just gross out there. You're like.
So gross.
So gross. Like, so gross. Just gross. Like grubby's just embracing it and you know, you forget you're not hidden in your bathroom with no one looking at you, you know? So, there would have been plenty of that. They'd probably have a highlight reel on it. But the worst thing was once I was cooking beans. This is at Summer Tower, and I'd just gone over. I was cooking beans and spilled, like, all of them and then just, like, scooped them up and put them back in. So we're eating basically dirt and beans and water, but like, I couldn't tell them because I was on the block. I was like, oh, man. It was just gross. And I'm like, oh, yeah. A bit sandy, but yeah, that's probably one little memory. But yeah, no, we're all grubs out there.
Yeah, I feel like it just lowers your. Probably Matt. Like I think, yeah, he was just gross. He would like pick at his legs. We covered this on the season on the podcast when he was on. But I feel like you just kind of like lower your standards in general, and they're really hard to lift again afterwards. Like, So this just a little sidebar story just to gross everyone out. It was my wife's birthday the other night. We had wood oven pizzas. There was probably like a pizza's worth of slices left over.
Yeah.
They were all put into a box. I accidentally at the end of the night threw out all the boxes and put them outside in the recycle bin, right? And then I went to bed and I was like, God, I can't wait for that pizza tomorrow. So I woke up, had my breakfast. Once waiting for lunch. Yes. Can't wait to have that pizza. Open the fridge. Babe, where's the pizza? She's like, I don't know. It was in that box. I was like, oh no, I threw it out. I ended up going back to the bin outside, getting the pizza out of the bin and tried to eat it. I stared at it and Christine's like, you're not going to eat it. I was like, I ate worse on Survivor. I did spit it back because I realized it had prawns on it and like having it outside in a bin for 7 hours during the heat, probably not a good idea. So it definitely does lower your standards.
Oh, it does. Like it's weird that every time now if I go sleep somewhere or eat somewhere, it's always like, oh, I was in a jungle for 40 days. That should not be your baseline for etiquette and what you eat. It's just like, oh, it's like, yeah, I'll sleep out. It's like, no, just enjoy a bed and enjoy forks and tissues and toilet paper, all that stuff. But, yeah.
Classic. It was pretty gross when we saw him wiping his face with the seat of his footy shorts, like the inside as well.
I thought you were going to say where he like, I think, did he use a leaf to blow his nose, and then the next edit is him eating rice out of the leaf. I was like, oh, that's classic. But yeah, everyone
foul. That's be foul.
Out there, Block fan.
Rich Batch says, has Henry taken up yoga yet?
Oh, didn't think this one would come up. No yoga, and yeah, it's weird how much that has stuck around. Like today a person came to work and said, I heard you on the radio. I was like, what? They're like, yeah. This guy said, oh, I saw that yoga guy from Survivor eating a pie or something. I don't get why I was talked about, but like the yoga thing is still like a thing. Like it's cool. I love it, but like, yeah, unfortunately, it's definitely not the career path for me. And yeah, Sorry.
You will forever be associated with yoga.
Well, yeah, so. Zen hands even, like, oh, at the footy club, it's Zen. It's, and I even sometimes I call myself in the mirror, oh, Zen, how you going? Oh, God, I let that one slip, didn't I?
That's great. I think we just got a window into your soul there. Jonathan Lilia asks, does Australian Survivor have a car curse? So, Henry, I don't know if you know this about the American Survivor, but about the car curse, which existed for the, what, the first 11 or so seasons. Mm. And the person who won the car has never won Survivor. And it rang true last year with Michelle.
Mm.
Do you believe that Australia has Survivor as a car curse? Well, and do you think that Brian will not win because of the car?
Well, we've got the power ranking saying the car curse still remains. So I think it's the silliest thing ever. It's just coincidence. It's definitely not based on – the voting isn't based on anything. I think maybe in the US there was a bit something to do with Dreams and Yao Man or something.
Yeah.
Promising there. And even I think Brian did a little promise to Nita Monica or something. You can have the car if I'm talking about something. Yep.
I thought that was interesting. I liked that.
It's weird. And even when he was talking to Shawnee at the logs. Anyway, there's a lot of you can break, like, your deep dive with Brian would be fantastic. But yeah, no, it's interesting to find out. But hopefully someone can take everything. I think it can happen.
Yeah, hopefully one day it's broken, but I don't think Brian's gonna be the one to break it.
Neither.
Lemoyne Joseph asks, now that we've completed the penultimate week, do you think Survivor AU's claim of this being the best post-merge in Survivor history stood the test of time? This is what Jonathan proposed to us at the beginning, was it straight after Lydia was voted out? It was after the first episode of the merge. He said it is the best end. You know, do you think that this is true? Now, it's not a very long history.
No.
But do you think it's true?
I think it has to be. You can't say it's not. Season one was very alliance, chip away kind of play. Ours was a bit different. A lot of the, I guess, threats, some would say, went out early. It was pretty, like, basic. But this one, it's even sitting with the final four, we're kind of really dissecting where it can go, and that's with four people left. So, and the moves that have been made, like the Benji Matt week was, wow.
Epic. Yep.
It's been great, and they've even had like a non-elim in there. Like I've said it all along, I'm a massive fan of, I understand that if you need non-elim ebbs, I think this season they've really done well with them.
I think so too.
There's been a lot of strategy around it. So, like, I think, yeah, this is true. Even Shane's big move was huge.
It's been great. Look, in my opinion, it's been for sure the best of the three.
Yeah.
Like, I think that if you had to kind of like create the Frankenstein Australian Survivor season, I would pick the pre-merge portion of season one, the swap to end of where you went chunk of season two, and then the complete run of the merge from Benji down. For sure. I feel like that is the best three chunks of all three seasons, but it's really the post-merge that people care about, and for sure this has been the best one. So well done, Survivor Season 3, and well done, producers.
Yeah, I agree. They've put together a ripper.
Before I let you go, we have a little game for you.
Yes.
And Shannon Gates has put together a couple of questions for you about the Australian Survivor reunion.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we are about to, we're about to go and watch the reunion live, and then in a couple of days it will air. So for people who are playing along at home, the finale, so there'll be the two episodes next week, as far as I can tell. It hasn't been confirmed, but I'm pretty sure there's an episode on Monday and the finale will be on Tuesday. So we'll lose one person on the Monday, and then we'll have the final three going into the finale. So it'll be Third person, the person who comes third will be voted out. Final tribal, winner reveal, and then live reunion all in one night. So let's play a little game.
Yeah.
And we are going to see out of us who can rack up the most points.
Oh, cool.
in a little game about called, I don't, well, we don't have a name for it, but let's call it like Name That Reunion Man.
Ding.
Ding. Okay. So we have a couple of categories. Okay. And we are going to answer who we think the answer to the question is.
Okay.
And then we will kind of like add up our scores as after the reunion, and then we'll see out of us who has the right
answer. So what question Jonathan will ask the 24
right.
people. We got to
right. Well, different categories, etc.
Oh,
yes.
So good.
So this is a game that Rob has played many times, especially with Mike Bloom. So we've got a couple of questions here, okay? So who, Henry, is going to be a pre-merge person who doesn't get a question?
Is it like, is there points as in like how?
Yeah, you get a point if you're right.
Point. So there's no scale because I feel like I'm going for an easy option.
Sure, you go for it.
I think Matt Dyson, first boot.
Matt Dyson.
I think there's a question there.
Okay, good choice. Okay, so I'm not.
There, but I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, we can't choose Russell because he's not going to be there as far as I've been hearing along the grapevine.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Anita. Anita. I can see them maybe going to Matt because, you know, first person, you're really like stuffed up with you imploded kind of thing. But I can see Anita not getting one.
Good.
All right. So the next one is who from the post merge is not going to get a question. And I'll go first and then you can't choose who I have.
Oh,
okay.
I got mine,
Post merge. I am going to say that Sam is not going to get a question.
Oh, okay. I'm going to
what do you got?
Follow suit of the edit and Monica.
Oh, Monica, that's a great one. That's a really good one. That's really good. Okay. Who is – Shannon has called this the Ziggy Memorial question, where the person who JLP is going to shade the most for their answer. Now, I couldn't remember this. Can you? You were there in the room. Can you tell me like what actually happened there? Did he shade her or about her game, or kind of like was saying something about the way she played?
Yeah,
or
something. I think we were talking about me not playing hard on. Clearly, that was like a massive blunder. And then like he somehow cut and said like. And Ziggy with the worst move or something like that. I can't fully remember it.
But what did she even do?
She played her idol for herself and she wasn't going up. Like, at least she's still in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember.
So who's going to get the Ziggy Memorial Prize for the memorial question for JLP shading their game?
That's tough. I'm going to go shading their games and paint, like having a crack at their game. Maybe.
Come on, we need an answer, mate.
Maybe Robbie.
Just interesting. How come?
The takes of the nacho thing where he was just looking at the ocean.
Yep.
Oh, who else voted for us with the Lydia vote? Just little grabs like that, which didn't.
Yeah. I'm going to go Benji, I think. Yeah. I think that he will give him credit for all the great stuff he did and how he was a great character. But I do think that he'll say like, Matt Rogers didn't play an idol and then you did the exact same thing after him, you idiot kind of
That's
thing.
That's fair.
Yeah. Next one. Who will be the person? This will be, I call this the Mark Wales Memorial Prize. Someone who just gets an inordinate amount of time answering questions who definitely was not in the show enough to be answering this many questions, or is just the over-talker, the person who kind of like, all right, we want to hear from the other 23 people.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go first on this one? Yeah, you go first on this one.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought about it. The over-talker. I think that's going to be Matt Rogers. I think that they're going to go to him for so many things, even when they don't apply to him.
Yeah, that's good. I'll pick someone else. I'm going to go the over-talker of, I think, Lydia. I think, yeah.
Oh, good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, and the last two more. Second to last is, who will make the most inappropriate joke on live TV?
Hopefully.
Okay, that was very quick.
Because that was there last year, and it is like, boom, here we go. You break for ad breaks in a sense. But like, I think a few questions got cut, but it's basically 100% what you say. So like, if Brian's just being himself, he could just easily go on out.
Good one. Good one. I'm going to go Zach.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say that Zach puts his foot in his. They're definitely going to go to Zach, I think. They're going to go. They'll do a little Zach Page thing.
Yes.
And he'll call everyone snowflakes or something like that. And I don't know. He'll mention his Instagram or something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
And a bonus question, who is going to be wearing their unused idol?
Oh.
This is the Henry Memorial.
Yeah, this is me. It will be all of them. Can I lock in three? Who will be the first one to put it on? I think if Russell's not going to be there, he can't be there, but –
Oh, wait, I should go first. Wait, yeah, you know, you chose, bro. Who's going to do it? I think I could see Benji. No. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit left of center here, right?
Mm.
I'm going to say that Matt Rogers takes it out and puts it on Moana.
Yes, we need that.
Yeah,
dig that.
Because I think that he will totally do it like, oh, you know, they'll say, oh, Matt, what were you thinking? Blah, blah, blah. And he'll go, oh, you know, at least I can give it back to Moana. She was a great ally, great chick. Yeah. And then he'll turn around and put it on her neck.
Well, I think that's great, but I'll just go Benji because I got no one else.
They should Skype in Russell and then he should do it via Skype.
Imagine him. I wish he was there.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see who wins, Henry, out of that, you and I, who wins the Name That Survivor Player, whatever the name of this show.
Australian Survivor Season 3. But, yeah, Name That Survivor Player.
All right, awesome. Well, Henry, this was, I think, a really good summation of going into the finale, and I think that we uncovered a lot of good stuff here. Do you have a hashtag for the end of this podcast?
Oh, is this the thing?
You've done a couple of these now. Come on, you should know this.
Yeah, I know, but hashtag of this podcast.
What about Dan Zenny? I like that.
Hashtag Dan Zenny. Yeah, I like it. Let's see if that can roll through to the next seasons.
Poor Chiz getting it.
Question for you. Will we get a season 4? And 2, will it be announced at finale?
Well, it's already been announced on, you know, we've already heard it from Channel 10 through the grapevine that it is coming back. But I think that's a really good question, if it will be announced at the finale. I think that they will announce that they're coming back, but I don't think they'll announce any theme or anything like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll announce they're back. I agree. They won't do a theme. But last question, what theme do you think will be next year?
Ugh.
I see it not being a theme. So what?
It'll definitely be a theme. We're going to try and unpack this next week with.
Leave it for that. Don't worry about it.
No, it's fine. It's not giving away all the secrets. We'll have plenty to discuss next week. But just a little teaser, guys. Next week, to wrap up the season, she's coming back, Shannon Gates,
woo!
And a special treat. We're going to bring back the three-way panel Mike Bloom is going to be in the house, and we are going to be kind of, we are going to be going through everything and kind of discussing, you know, the end game, the reunion, and projecting forward. We've even got a few little games up our sleeve, and we're also going to be giving out some sort of awards. So stay tuned for that, because we might even get you guys to vote on them beforehand.
Cool.
If we can get organized in time. So we will discuss it all then, I guess.
Yeah,
Henry.
Sounds good on that note.
All right. Well, everyone, hashtag Dan Zenny. You can find me on Twitter. I have been tweeting up a storm this week. I am obsessed. School holidays, guys. Come on. Like, you gotta get involved with the convo. Exactly. So, I'm at Nick I Danzer on Twitter and Instagram as well, but, that's nowhere near as exciting as Twitter. But Zen Hen, what is your, just, I know you said people not to follow you, but if they're interested in looking at what you're tweeting and then realizing how crap it is and then not following you, what is your Twitter handle?
Zen Hen Survivor. Cause that's what I talk about.
Can everyone please just try and get him to get a profile banner? That would
do
be
it for me. I'll give you my login details.
And okay, that's I think.
Can I do that? Yeah.
I think you're opening yourself up to a real issue there.
Stop.
All right. Well, Henry, we've been giving away the hamper every week. Someone's been adding to the hamper. You know, what people can win? What does the winner of the Danzy? Maybe that's what they get. They get to take over your Twitter.
They
control your Twitter.
They control.
I can't wait to see Shane somehow taking out the Danzy and she takes control of your Twitter.
That'll be Shane Gould is going to get behind my Twitter. Oh, my God. Isn't that what dreams are made of?
All right, Henry. Well, thank you so much, everyone. And thanks for checking us out. And we will be back next week. Take care. Bye.